On a Monday, I'm waiting. Tuesday, I'm fading. And by Wednesday, I can't sleep. In the darkness, I hear you.
I don't know these words. Hi! Welcome back, Orchids. It's me, your gracious host, Fluid Flower, and we are back with another episode of Fluid Thoughts. Today is a special episode, not just because of the song I sang so beautifully. Shout out to you, Ashley Simpson. Unless you're a terrible person, then I take that back. I don't know with celebrities nowadays. They might be terrible, but I don't know. So anyway, thanks for the song, girl. But today's a special episode because it's a story time episode. When I was writing the show out, it came to me that I should read the story that I'd been working on for my book, not only because I did promise that story times were going to come back, but, you know, I'm being more intentional with my time. And I just wanted to serve a reminder to myself as to why I started this podcast in the first place, which is to tell stories. And I know I do that a lot with my anecdotes about the awful, terrible, and some wonderful people that I've met throughout my life. But sometimes it's just good to get back to the foundation. I, as a writer who is not published yet, I sometimes punish myself for not being published or being like published traditionally. And I talk about this all the time, how I'm constantly comparing myself to where I think I should be in life. Oh, if I had just done X, Y, Z, then I would have written a book already. If I had just done this, what? Girl, shut the fuck up. It doesn't fucking matter. The empire is collapsing all around, and that includes the entertainment industry, because every damn week it's a new story about how P. Diddy done allegedly did some diddling, okay? The damn diddler. The entertainment industry as we know it is essentially nothing but sex crimes and imperial propaganda, and that includes traditional publishing, right? So like, how much of this shit don't we know in other spaces? Like, we hear about the music industry, but what about the publishing industry? So honestly, I would just lead myself to believe that it's probably the same way. Who you gotta have sex with to get that book deal, girl? And I'm not doing that shit. So as an artist, I have to ask myself, is that the world you want to be a part of? Is that the industry you want to be in? Hell no. Hell fucking no. Like, so sharing this story at the end of the podcast that is going to go in my book, it just, you know, serves as a reminder that I don't need traditional forms of publishing or entertainment to achieve something. And as empire crumbles and celebrity culture of Hollywood is exposed, I have to realign my values. Not only that, but I must participate in the building of a new world where art is simply just art, as opposed to it being a commodity. I don't want my art to be reduced into consumer packaged goods that are manufactured and stripped of its intention, where the art itself becomes formulaic and indiscernible from other capitalist products that were only created to sell you something. So I say all that to say, the book is being written, the book will be published, and I hope you enjoy the story at the end of the show, because it's a preview of the great things that are coming, that are here, that are arriving. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. Now let's get into the show. Okay, girl, Ozempic. Listen, I've been wanting to talk about Ozempic for a minute, but before we start, I just want to preface this episode that people can do whatever the fuck they want to do with their bodies. Also, trigger warning, because I will be mentioning eating disorders and my struggle that I've had with that. Okay, so for those of you who don't know what Ozempic is, Ozempic is a medicine that is generically known as semaglutide. What this medicine does is it lowers the blood sugar by helping the pancreas make insulin. Weight loss is a known side effect of the drug because it does mimic a naturally occurring hormone in your body, sending molecules to your brain, telling it that you're full. It also slows the digestion process by slowing down the time it takes for food to leave your stomach. So why do I want to talk about Ozempic? Okay, so the other day, I was running errands and I had to drive into the city, and I sat at the light. I saw a yellow yard sign in the ground that simply said Ozempic, with a handwritten phone number in black Sharpie at the bottom. I started laughing at first because seeing this poorly crafted sign with illegible handwriting next to the Jesse's Moving sign and the We Buy Junk Houses sign was a scene that only could be described in a show like Abbott Elementary or The Office or Atlanta. But then I started getting angry because I was like, what fresh hell are we living in where people are selling back alley Ozempic shots and advertising them on the side of the road on a yellow yard sign? Because here's why I'm so angry. I'm a type 2 diabetic. This is also why I wanted to make this episode, because I want people to understand that not only what Ozempic is, but to hear about the usage of this medication from the perspective of a person who uses it to control blood sugars as opposed to using it for weight loss. I was prescribed Ozempic back in February of 2023. And me and my doctor, we made that decision because my sugars and my weight were trending up instead of down. So I tried it, gave myself my first injection, and within 2 weeks, I lost 8 pounds. And when I tell you, this activated my eating disorders so much so, and it activated my poor relationship with food, girl, the delusions that were swirling in my head, I was literally setting myself up for failure. I was like, yeah, I'm about to be slim thick. Finally, I'm gonna work out 7 days a week. I'm only gonna eat salmon and chicken and vegetables. No carbs. I'm gonna do fasted cardio. Woo! I'm gonna lose more. Girl, I'm gonna shut your ass up. Because guess what happened, girl? Take a wild fucking guess. Inflation, Jonathan. Bitch, I couldn't even afford the salmon and veggies that I swore up and down that I was gonna buy at the fucking grocery store. All I could afford were $3 pre-seasoned chicken leg quarters from HEB, from the Hub, Howard E. Butler, Here Everything's Better, ramen noodles, dirty hot dog water, Uncle Ben's rice, and canned green beans, okay? So when the weight started falling off more slowly than I wanted, I started to get back into nasty habits of denying myself food and shaming myself for feeling hungry. Imagine how fucking like ridiculous it is. You're upset with your body for wanting food, and it's not a good feeling. Dehumanizing yourself is not a good feeling. I was so upset that I wasn't a size 12 in a matter of 2 weeks that I literally began to spiral and started obsessing over every little thing I ate. I started wasting the little food I had because my illogical thinking led me to believe that, oh, well, as long as I don't actually eat the food, then I'm okay. Mind you, I wasn't even getting up to 1400 calories a day while on the Ozempic. So I'm literally starving myself on a drug that low key already kind of starves you in a sense. Anyway, one of the main side effects of this drug was also for me was that I wasn't able to pick up on my thirst cues. So I was just walking around dehydrated as fuck and wondering, why do I have a headache at 2 p.m.? Oh, well, maybe because you haven't had any water since you brushed your teeth, Shirley Ann. Like, girl, come on, if I'm gonna be so serious. So I finally snapped out of it when I fasted for too long one day and I nearly passed out because my blood sugars were so low. That was the day I said, I don't care how much weight I lose or don't lose with Ozempic. You are disabled and you are pushing your body, your type 2 diabetic body that has endometriosis and asthma. You're pushing that body to the brink of collapse because you still have aspirations of attaining conventional beauty to gain some sort of social currency within a white supremacist construct. Ephemina. Fluid, get your shit together. Enough. One of the main reasons that people like these celebrities, Oprah, one of the reasons why they lose weight so quickly is because more likely than not, they're not only using Ozempic in the form of Wegovy, which has a higher concentration of semaglutide, but these motherfuckers have a team of people. They have personal chefs, personal trainers, spiritual gurus. This bitch, let's talk about Oprah. For a second, this bitch has acres of land in mainland US, right? And in Hawaii. She has fucking gardens where she and her slaves, I mean, her elite employees, mostly the employees, they grow fresh zucchini and squash and cucumbers. These celebrities have farm to table access to organic foods and vegetables that are free of E. coli and lead and toxic waste, while we are sitting in our homes and apartments that we can't afford, beating ourselves up because we don't have the dream bodies that celebrities have bought and paid for. Listen, listen, Linda, listen, come here. Turn me up in the studio. Turn me up in the stew. I need my people to hear me when I say this. We are focused on the wrong shit, and that includes me. Our priorities are not in order. What did I say a few weeks ago? We are one paycheck away from the streets. You one paycheck away from the streets and you're worried about Ozempic? Your landlord is getting ready to increase your rent right now and you're worried about a BBL? Your child doesn't have formula. In fact, the formula that is on the streets, the formula that is on the shelves, that should be contaminated. How many fucking food recalls are we going to go through? You're worried about a tummy tuck when you don't have health insurance. Babes, we have all lost the plot. But when you think about it, why wouldn't we, right? We live in a society that is fat phobic. We live in a society where people are assigned value based on how desirable you are or on how well you meet the beauty standard. So of course, a person like me, and I'm sure many of you, who have been verbally assaulted and harassed about their fat bodies or having fat on their bodies or from not being perfect or looking perfect or not being skinny enough, they've been bullying us our entire lives. It's going to drive someone insane. It can drive you to near extinction trying to obtain thinness. I remember I went out to eat with a friend earlier last year, and I started realizing, just having some self-awareness about how uncomfortable I made them by constantly talking about how much I don't eat now that I'm on Ozempic. Ephemena, excuse me, but what the actual fuck are you talking about? Like, girl, do you hear yourself? Oh my gosh, I can't believe I was able to eat 2 whole tacos. I normally only eat half, but I'm so full for the rest of the day because I'm so teeny tiny and small. I'm such a petite. Shut the fuck up! Like, girl, mind you, this was me last year. So the fact that I'm able to reflect on my own cringiness is progress. So I'm like being annoying about constantly talking about how little I eat now. I'm running my body into the ground because I'm obsessed with fasting, and I crash one day and I'm like, okay, look, girl, you got to slow down, right? Okay. I tell myself it's okay that you're not a skinny mini. Let's just focus on lowering our blood sugar and moving our bodies, right? Well, old habits die hard. I continued to beat myself up for not having lost all my weight within the first year of using this medication. And by the time my birthday came around, I couldn't afford to go pick up my refill of my Ozempic, or let alone even pay for my own groceries. CVS had to send a text and was like, hey girl, we'll hold your medication for 14 days. But after that, we're putting that shit right back on the shelf. So when I couldn't get my hands on my precious Ozempic, because my birthday's on the 12th, so I had to wait to the 15th to get paid. But the 15th was like on what, a random Tuesday or some shit like that. So I'm like, damn, I gotta like, I need money. Like, bitch, I'm trying to get 30 bands by tomorrow. But yeah, I couldn't get my medication until like Tuesday. And I was like, fuck, what am I going to do without my precious Ozempic? My precious. Like, it was really crazy, right? But at the end of the day, looking back in retrospect, I was low-key thankful because I had to move in a way that forced me to stop moving so crazy. As we experienced the collapse of empire, I had to remind myself that it's not necessary for me to be thin. It's necessary for me to stay alive. When your values are not communal and based in humanity, you will spew the nonsense that you were conditioned to think. If you are conditioned to dehumanize fat people, even you as a fat person will dehumanize yourself. I literally had no money and I was worried about losing weight. Priorities. Your main priority as a poor working class person is to stay alive so that you can organize and build community. You have to take care of yourself as best as you can. This incessant need to beat on yourself when capitalism already does that is quite literally ridiculous. Because when you think about it, that's what capitalism does. It creates conflict where there isn't any. The fact that Wegovy was approved for weight loss by the FDA back in 2021 is literally just a win for capitalism to sell us shit that we do not need. When we take health into a comprehensive perspective, a large part of what we understand about health is not actually rooted in science, but it's rooted in myths and widespread misinformation. The other part of what I think we miss as a whole is that the system is not designed for us to be healthy in any capacity. It's just designed for us to consume and look away from all the bad shit that needs to happen in order for us to keep consuming. We then formulate behaviors around consumption and deify thinner bodies and extreme habits that are quite harmful. Because what the fuck is keto flu? The reason why you're feeling sick is because you're denying yourself carbohydrates in the form of glycogen. And so now your body feels fucking crazy because, oh, it's supposed to help you put you into ketosis so that you could use your fat. Shut the fuck up, bro. Just eat the food or shut the fuck up. And notice how it's always like a fad or a trend or a diet. And it's just like, do y'all ever just like eat normally and just relax? No wonder why we have fucking eating disorders. No fucking why we have disordered eating. What the fuck you mean, Gwyneth Paltrow, that you only eat 12 almonds and you do intermittent fasting? Bitch, you need some oxtail. Sorry, let me not shame her. But girl, like, please shut the fuck up. Okay, so this reminds me, quick story. I had a friend, let's call them Pinky. Right. So Pinky and I were extremely cool. We used to chop it up, talk about literally everything. And what's funny is when I met Pinky, I actually convinced them to go vegan back in my plant-based days. Now, full disclosure, Pinky was very problematic. I often had to correct them on their behavior for being transphobic and homophobic. But when I adore someone and I feel like, oh, hey, you know, I love them so much, when I have a deep platonic love for this person, I would rather call you out on your shit and correct you so that we can continue our deep bond than to just cut you off at like the very first mistake. Because as a Scorpio, it ain't nothing to cut that bitch off, please. So one day, we're on the phone and we're chit-chatting and they asked me for some advice if they should sign up for this service where this company will give you a 7-day juice cleanse. Each day you will have 3 to 4 juices that you will use as meal replacements. And then at the end of the 7 days, you start their soup cleansing program, which is for 30 days, all for a measly, paltry, teeny tiny payment of $4,362.12. You said Greg borrowed $10,000? You said Greg borrowed $10,000? Look, NeNe Leakes will always have the quotes, okay? But yeah, so for $4,362.12, this is how much this company was going to charge you to cleanse your body. Now, Pinky, babes, if you're out there, if you're listening, please understand that I was actually going to end our friendship this particular night due to what unfolded. So I began to tell them, Pinky, hey, you don't actually need to cleanse or detox because you are an able-bodied person with a fully functioning liver and kidneys. Your liver detoxifies your body and your kidneys filter your blood. So unless you have issues or illnesses with those two organs, it's safe to say that you don't need to cleanse and you're wasting your money. I wanted to end the explanation right there, but Pinky kept on pressing. But what about black charcoal? What about green juice? Girl, fuck that motherfucking green juice. Bitch, I'm trying to save you $5,000 and you sitting up here fucking playing in my motherfucking face. Okay, so I kept on, right? I said, hey, well, all of that is relative. Green juice is pretty much just cucumber water. Besides, the idea of cleansing is a white supremacist concept. Toxic diet culture has its roots in anti-black racism. Pinky now thought it was appropriate to not only laugh in my face, but to now call me a hotep, and then proceeded to tell me that not everything is white supremacy. Shut the fuck up, Pinky, because it quite literally fucking is. Are you daft? Are you dense? Are you thick in the head, man? So I am, I'm like upset at this point, right? Because the hotep insult really pissed me off, because liberals will literally become anti-intellectual when you don't cater to their nonsense. When you point out how their logic doesn't make sense because they lack perspective and context and historical information, they will literally make fun of you for reading books. How am I a hotep for knowing about the racial origins of fat phobia? Quickly, Pinky, the orchids need answers since you got your degree and you know every motherfucking thing. The fury that bubbled inside me that night, I could have torched the sun. The other issue that pissed me off about the whole situation is that, number one, why are you asking a fat, disabled person who you know has a history of eating disorders for advice if you should do this Nazi-ass, Nazi Germany-ass diet cleanse? Why are you asking me for my informed, correct opinion just to turn around and insult me and act as if what I'm saying isn't true? And it's because some of you bitches will never admit how conditioned you are by white supremacy. And that is sad. It's one thing to go to a doctor and work with the care team to take care of yourself, to improve your health in small incremental steps to improve your overall health, right? Or you're going to the doctor to treat your chronic illnesses or different ailments. Doesn't matter. You're working with registered professionals, board certified professionals. But when you attach consumption of a product to how healthy you are, you just prove that it's not about being healthy. It's about distancing yourself from those who don't or cannot meet the standards of toxic health and wellness culture. So when these companies start selling weight loss products, they're selling you lies. Even if they work, right? The fundamental basis for weight loss is caloric deficit. So when I see all these Instagram fads that have pushed diet and diet culture onto us, I am literally, quite literally fucking disgusted. That night, I wanted to end the friendship with Pinky, but I just decided to ignore them because I was such an emotionally distraught state. Because how could this person who I loved and cherished just brush me off to the side like that? This person and I would have conversations well into the midnight hour, talking about how fucked up and fat phobic the world is, sharing stories with them about the things my mom or that school kids or that people used to say to me growing up, and them being so livid and angry about the people who have emotionally violated me. And now that you're coming to me asking me for advice and I'm telling you, hey, you don't have to have that frame of thinking, I'm a hotep, girl, fuck you. Needless to say, Pinky showed me that they believe in the nonsensical attitude of a white supremacist world. We are no longer friends because at some point they had said some real homophobic shit to me that I was like, look, I'm not having it anymore, because at some point there's only so many times I can correct you to where I realize that you don't actually want to change. So I'm experiencing fat phobia within my friendships, in my family relationships, in my culture, at school, from randoms at the fucking CVS. Y'all remember that episode when I told y'all about that man coming up to me talking about something? Dude, I got gastric bypass. This is the smallest I've ever been. Baby, that's the smallest you've been? Okay, well, leave me and my stomach alone. Don't worry about me. So why wouldn't I, when I'm experiencing all this, why wouldn't I put insurmountable pressure on myself to lose weight? And then when I finally get prescribed Ozempic to help me with my blood sugars, I'm obsessing about this medication. So now apply that to just the people living in the West, just in the United States, where the obsession with weight loss has leaked into every facet of our society. Of course, people are going to be tempted to call the number on the sketchy ass Ozempic yard sign because our insecurities are being exploited. The insecurities that we are conditioned to be insecure about. What God say in Genesis to Adam and Eve? Who told you that you were naked? Now apply that to weight loss and diet culture. Who told you that there was something wrong with you? Again, I'm not against losing weight. I'm not against people lifting at the gym or doing any sort of exercise regimen. People can do whatever they want with their bodies. But what I do have an issue with is assigning morality and authority to thinner people simply because they are thin. I take issue with our insecurities being manufactured by capitalists, and then we are sold products to fill the void that was created by these businesses. I take issue with the idea that we should be sold weight loss products while people are actively losing their homes due to a corrupt system. Our infrastructure is crumbling and people are living in food apartheid. And you can have the normal, everyday, average Joe. He will walk around and think that he is the authority on health and wellness simply because they're thin. And then they'll even talk down to and paternalize poor people who cannot afford healthy food, as if they asked to be born into cyclical poverty, will talk down to them and be like, oh, you need to be eating this and you shouldn't be doing that. Why are you putting that into your body? Until everybody has access to fresh fruits and vegetables, I don't want to fucking hear it. The fact that we have to pay for food is a problem. You're making us pay for water, for grapes, apples, things that God gave us for free. Orlando Brown was correct. Like, what? In 2024, I'm literally quoting Orlando Brown. How crazy is this year? Because what the fuck is going on? The jig is up, bitch. You know that the plot is lost when the damn Walmart CEO, boss and CEO, John Furner said, shoppers are on Ozempic. They're buying less food. John, I know you're not in school no more, so you probably forgot how to read, but it's not Ozempic causing people to buy less food. It's the fact that people can't afford to buy the groceries in the first damn place. How peeled away from society do you have to be to blame Ozempic for low grocery sales? Like, shut the fuck up. Like, you are stupid. Oh my God. Like, I'm so tickled. Also, here's a better question. Why do you know that certain shoppers are even on Ozempic? Why do these executives have access to all this data? Oh, guess what? It's to sell us more shit. Because now when you walk into the Walmart or to the Piggly Wiggly, they're going to be like, here, why don't you try this small version of a beef tip that was 3D printed in a lab? Because we know that you're on Ozempic and you can't take much food. And but girl, I'm telling you, it's coming. They're going to market something to sell you now that they know that you're on Ozempic, right? But here's my other question to these executives. Even if that's the case, right? If shoppers are on Ozempic and they're buying less food, in the words of Mother Azalea Banks, okay, so what now? Like, are your prices going to go down, Walmart? Are these companies going to reduce inflation? No. So if people are buying less food, regardless of what medication they on, consider the fact that people can't afford to buy the food in the first fucking place. You intellectually lazy ass son of a bitch. Fuck y'all. Fuck y'all. And I bet your ass won't be worried about no fucking Ozempic when we start stealing at that motherfucker. Man, bro. Okay, look. I'm over it. So yeah, needless to say, I have had a very tumultuous relationship with Ozempic, but I am getting over my manufactured insecurities each day. It takes time. It's the constant unlearning and learning and even relearning to see yourself and others outside of the various social constructs that have conditioned us. We'll get there. We will get there. We will reach a point where we as working class poor people don't want to stimulate manufactured economies, because we will truly know our value as human beings who are worthy of dignity and respect. Whew. Okay, let's take a quick commercial break and then we'll have story time. Hey Orchids, did you know that I'm a budding tarot reader? Have you felt stagnant in life? Would you like a reading? Well, come on down to the Fluid Tarot Emporium, where we have the Morium. That was a corny joke, but I do offer 15-minute readings for just $7. These are 3-card basic spreads where I can give you more insight on life situations. So if you're interested, send me a DM at Fluid Tarot on Instagram. Now, let's get back to the show. All right, friends, my orchids, we are back, and it is now story time with Fluid Flower. I really hope you all enjoy this story, and I hope that you can kind of get more of a peek into my mind as to why I deal with all of the shit that I deal with. But nonetheless, here is the story. Lift Up Your Shirt by Ephemena Imanife. Hey, Ephemena. Suck in your stomach right quick, a little girl said to me. My anxiety started to rise. The tightening of my chest grew stronger with each passing second. It all happened so fast. I turned around to see at least 5 of my 4th grade classmates gazing at me. I held in my stomach as tightly as I could. Okay, now stick it back out again, she said. This was the moment, my time to shine. I had been practicing the soft, sustained release of my belly to prove that there was virtually no difference between me sucking it in and standing at ease. See, the little girl said. Her stomach is not that big. If you like her, just talk to her. At the time, I couldn't decide if the interaction was a good or a bad thing. On one hand, I was quite literally subjected to public humiliation and fat shaming. On the other hand, I was finally recognized for not being that fat. This was everyday life for me at 10 years old, constantly trying to prove to people that I wasn't that fat. Sure, I went shopping in the plus size / Mrs. section, but I never felt as big as people made me out to be. I hated shopping. I hated being reminded that I was chubbier than my sisters and cousins and school friends. I'd snip off the clothing tag on the back of my collared shirts if they revealed that I was a size extra large. I existed as if I was trying to keep my fatness a secret, never expressing pain while playing sports to avoid being called a fat and lazy sack of shit. I would hide my heavy breathing as I climbed mountains of stairs to get to class in middle school, forcing myself to take quiet, long breaths through my nose so that nobody would call me a sweaty pig or laugh at me for breathing heavily. I hated being reminded by men in their 40s that I didn't have the body of a child. By their logic, since my body was advanced, I was fair game to them. I never quite understood why they went after me, to be quite honest. I mean, what was good about my fat body? My body was square and broad. My hips were wide and I carried my weight in my stomach and thighs. I was dark skinned and African. I was no one's beauty queen. Or at least that's what I convinced myself, since my fatness automatically made me ugly according to the social construct. The way adults talked about my body, you would have thought I was a suckling sow who just gave birth in her own filth. I never stood a chance. By the time I got to middle school, I was a full-blown anorexic. I starved myself. I would do the gym class workouts full out to prove that I could keep up with the skinny kids. My sixth grade gym teacher noticed that I was losing weight after the first 6 weeks of school. Ephemena, have you been losing weight? Keep it up. You don't want to be big when you're older because it's so much harder to lose weight when you're old, she said to me. I smiled awkwardly and walked to my assigned spot in the gymnasium. I was livid. Why would she say that to me out loud and in front of my friends? Now everyone knew that I was trying to lose weight, which forced me to acknowledge the fact that I was fat. It shoved my not-so-secret fatness in the faces of those whose respect I was trying to win. Even back then, I didn't think talking, or rather congratulating, a person on their weight loss was a compliment. I didn't want my gym teacher or other people to see me for losing weight. I wanted them to see me as a regular person, a human. Because when you're fat, you're not human. You have to constantly prove your humanity. You have to reassure the non-fats that you won't disgust them with your fatness. You make sure that you make them feel comfortable by laughing at their harmful jokes. The jokes so harmful that you contemplate killing yourself at 12 years old. Make sure they're comfortable by agreeing with them on how much you need to stop eating and just run laps until you're finally skinny. Always accept their half-assed apologies when they take it too far, because fat people aren't allowed to be angry about people making fun of our bodies. The social construct says that being fat is all our fault, and if we didn't want people to hate our bodies, we should start loving our own bodies by sticking our fingers down our throat and purge the Twinkies we ate all day. I remember the look in adults' eyes when I would see them see me, that look they would give me when they saw that I was big. I watched myself become an adult in their eyes. I watched their body language get defensive. Their brows would furrow and the bass in their voice would kick in. They would put more authority in their presence to effectively size up a child that didn't look like a child to them. The hatred and disgust was written all over their faces. Sometimes it was pity. I could tell that they felt sorry for me. I saw the up and down look from far away before they whispered under their breath, loud enough for me to hear, "Damn, that's a big ass kid." Behind their eyes, I wasn't human, and they made sure to remind me of that every day. Not just the adults, but the kids too. The kids were the worst. We only understood our flaws. We repeated the nonsense we heard from the world around us, nitpicking at every scratch, scar, and bump. Who had the best hair, hips, lips, breasts even? We thought our bodies were finite and not subject to change. We compared skin colors to see who was darker, who was prettier, who among us fit the societal standard of beauty, and even then, how could those who did meet it improve? Who was the girl who was the closest to perfection? It certainly wasn't me, and the world around me made sure to remind me of that. Although we were living in the purity of girlhood, we verbally dismembered one another like lambs to slaughter. It was softball week, so after dressing out, we were to report straight to the track. The coaches were inside gathering the equipment as we waited in the outfield. I overheard a voice from behind me. "Yeah, but I'm not as big as Ephemena." I released a deep, heavy, Negro spiritual sigh. "Girl, what the fuck are you talking about?" I asked. I had the mouth of a sailor since all I did was steal jokes from comedians on Comedy Central and BET's Comic View. I turned around to see a stumpy, amorphous blob with a short ponytail and a heavy Spanish accent. I remember her real name, but I'll refer to her as Flora. "Yeah, Ephemena, I'm big, pero like, I'm not as big as you," she said. What prompted this? I thought to myself. One second I'm waiting for softball equipment, and the next I'm mentally preparing to ether another child who clearly possessed so many different struggles. "Not as big as me. We're in the same boat. If I'm the Titanic, that makes you the USS linebacker." Laughs. Continuous, raucous laughter from the girls around us. A crowd started to draw near. "Nuh-uh. You're big, but I'm like small big," she replies. A pause. The silence was deafening. We could all see her delusion, her desperation to separate herself from me in order to reclaim her humanity. "Flora," I said. "What the hell is small big? Like, I'm just a little gorda, but you're like gorda gorda. Girl, you look like you just clocked out the Oompa Loompa factory getting ready to throw a child into the chocolate river." The laughter was mountainous. It could start an avalanche. The crowd was bigger this time. I could see kids from the bleachers running down the steps to surround us to see what all the hubbub was about. I saw her spirit weaken. I knew she didn't want it with me. I had been defending myself with words for most of my young life, so it was obvious she was no comparison. She continued to try me anyway, falling faster and further into despair and failure. "No, look at your stomach and then look at mine," she lashed out. "What are y'all talking about?" said a voice from the crowd. It was Shamia Jackson, the most popular girl in school. Shamia and I had known each other since the early days of elementary, basically all our lives at that point. Her and her sisters lived in a huge mini mansion in the neighborhood adjacent to mine. She was rich and beautiful. That's all she needed to be considered the queen bee. Her minions then proceeded to catch her up on all the fuss. "Oh, y'all trying to see who's bigger? Well, that's easy. Lift up your shirts and let's see whose stomach is bigger," she said. Those words felt like I had swallowed a boulder that just crashed into my intestines. The crowd of girls arranged for Flora and I to stand next to each other. "Okay, Ephemena, you go first," said Shamia. I wanted so much to die in that moment. If I went through with it, I'd be exposing my flaw, my public secret to the world. And if I didn't, I'd be seen as a scary ass bitch ass motherfucker. I had to do it. Full out, too. I couldn't suck in my stomach or adjust in any way. I had to bear it all to my peers. I lifted my shirt at a steady pace, masking my humiliation with a nonchalant attitude. The shirt was up. I braced myself for a roar of laughter, but there was nothing. "Your turn now, Flora," one girl quipped from the crowd. I watched her as she did a small motion revealing a tiny amount of skin. "Nah! Nah!" shouted a random girl. "Ephemena lifted her shirt all the way up. Lift yours up too, damn it!" Flora lifted up her shirt and the entirety of the girls' gym class guffawed. The laughter from these girls could shatter the sound barrier. "Damn, Flora, you was talking all that shit about Ephemena. It looked like you got four stomachs," a voice shouted. Flora and I put our shirts down. Although I had won the fat off for technically being smaller, I could feel her devastation. I saw the pained look in her eyes, but I couldn't bring myself to comfort her. I didn't laugh at her, but I didn't stop the laughter either. It was kill or be killed, and I had to lay her to rest. The gym coaches finally returned, and we got in position. I was first up to bat. "Come on, Ephemena," Shamia shouted. "Hit that ball like it's a pork chop." "Nah, she gotta hit it like it's a salad so she don't eat the ball," said another. I smiled and faked laughed at their comments. This was my life, constantly being reduced to food and fat jokes, 25-8. I swung the softball bat and missed. The crowd of girls let out a disappointing sigh. "Now I know you can put some more power behind that swing, Big Mama," said the coach. As I straightened out again, the bell rang. Thank God. My 65 minutes of torture were finally over. As we all walked towards the entrance of the locker room, I drifted off by myself, as I didn't want to be near the people who just made fun of me for over an hour. I glanced around and felt a gust of wind rush past me. It was Flora, running with tears down her face and snot coming out of her nose. "Ooh, y'all made that girl cry," a voice said. "She the one who started it," said another. "Ephemina, what you call her? USS linebacker? Yeah, that was some real fat on fat crime," another random girl chuckled. I acknowledged them with a half smile and a gentle head nod. I was silent and had low energy for the rest of the day. Fighting for your approval and value can take a toll on your psyche. My mind was a mess. All I could think about were Flora's tears and what would have happened if I had lost the fat off. I would have had to make jokes about myself all day. I would have had to reassure my peers that I was comfortable with them dehumanizing me because, after all, to be fat was to be devoid of humanity. While the win I had in second period gym class was grotesque, I still had a long day of defending myself and being made aware of my fatness. Lunchtime was still ahead. I would still go through the motions of pretending not to be hungry or chewing my food 40 times before I swallowed so that I could feel fuller, according to doctors. I skipped breakfast on purpose because not eating was a sign of discipline and self-respect. The more I moved away from food, the closer I was to humanity. The act of defending myself wouldn't even be over when I went home after school, where I couldn't defend myself with words, but with isolation. Locking myself in my room, creating scenarios in my head that I would act out loud in the comfort of my insanity until it was time for dinner, where I would wrestle with my starving stomach, begging my body to stop being hungry. I'd argue with my mother after refusing food because she felt as if I was refusing her. I would finally succumb to the fact that I have to eat in order to live, which made me not want to live at all. And when the lights went out and the house was still, I'd cry myself to sleep, finally releasing the pain I endured all day, only to do it all again the next day, and the next day after that, and for the rest of my life. Whew, okay. I know that was, it was a little dark towards the end, but hey girl, I'm just on here speaking my truth. But that's my time, y'all. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm so glad that I'm able to bring back the stories, and until next time, this is Fluid Flower. Be sure to follow me on all socials, y'all, because they're trying to get TikTok up out of here. They're trying to sell it to the Americans because Joe Biden don't know what the hell he's doing. Girl, let me get up off here before I start reading that bitch to filth. Anyway, love y'all so much. See y'all next week, or in 2 weeks. Yeah. Okay, bye.